courtside of the virtual hardwood, it's the MLSC podcast. This is episode 487. I am Andrew, Andrew in our forum, Andrew MLSC on Twitter. Joining me as always, my co-host Derek, DV3 in our forum, and DV3G and DV384 on Twitter. Derek, good to be talking to you as always, and of course, connecting with you to play, which we just got finished doing.
Yeah, what a great session. So, as you know, I grew up with NBA Fast Break 98 for the PlayStation. And that game is one of my favorite games of all time, and a lot of people call it the first 2K because it was developed by Visual Concepts. But I had never played NBA Action 98, which was the Sega Saturn and PC version of the same game. And this week, I finally got around to installing NBA Action 98 on my PC. And what an awesome game. It has a couple advantages over NBA Fast Break 98. It has Chick Hearn on commentary, the legendary Lakers announcer. And he adds so much to the immersion. He has so many good lines. He has his sense of humor in the game like he does in real life. And he talks quite a bit more than the person they had commentating on NBA Fast Break 98. So that is a huge plus. And it is just flat out smooth on the PC. And it looks great.
It's interesting that they did go with the different titles on the two different platforms, or the three different platforms, I suppose, and have those differences, like having Kobe on the cover. So basically, Kobe is the first 2K cover athlete in, if you want to include him as part of the lineage. And if you look at the 2K14 next gen, the PS4 and Xbox One intro, when they talk about that game being 17 years in the making, it really is referring back to NBA Action 98 and NBA Fast Break 98. So they do include that as part of their lineage, for sure. So I think we absolutely can as well. It's interesting that the Midway actually published that game on PlayStation 1, and as opposed to Sega Sports on PC and Saturn. Saturn, of course, being the Sega platform. But yeah, it is a worthy competitor to NBA Live 98.
Absolutely. And another thing I'll point out, too, is, you know, when you talk about the cover art, you know, NBA Fast Break 98 was just a Bulls versus Jazz picture with Pippen going up to score. And, you know, I guess I'd rather have Kobe as a cover athlete as opposed to having Jordan being hidden behind Adam Keefe.
Yeah.
On the Fast Break cover, because they didn't have the rights to him. So he's guard number 98 in that game. But the funny part about that is obviously guard number 98, which is the Bulls starting guard in that game. All of his vitals, everything is just like MJ.
They didn't try to hide it.
Height, 6'6". Oh, they didn't even try. So it's 6'6", you know, weight 216, North Carolina, etc. So they went as far as they possibly could to make it like Michael Jordan. And he just dominates too in the game. He has all of these different dunks in his repertoire. He's really fast. He's really good at putting the ball on the floor. He's excellent. But yeah, the differences between Fast Break and Action 98, I actually prefer Fast Break's soundtrack by quite a bit. So I think it has a better soundtrack and it has better instant replays. As you and I talked about off air, in NBA Action 98, when they go to an instant replay, it is way too fast and it's also cut short. And what happens is you end up just going into the presentation settings and turning those replays off because it's like useless. It's a waste of time. But on NBA Fast Break 98, they show you the full replay in slow motion, and it's something you want to like see. You want to keep that on. But yeah, otherwise, I mean, Fast Break and Action, the menus are very similar. The options are similar as far as starting a new season or playoffs, et cetera. You can create players in both the games and whatnot. As far as being a competitor to NBA Live 98, the gameplay in NBA Action 98 is as dynamic as Live 98, in my opinion, overall. I mean, you have, you know, the dribble moves, the spin moves. There's tip dunks and there's alley-oops, etc. They both have similar and great gameplay qualities. Shooting is fun in both games, even though sometimes on NBA Action 98, you do a few too many spinning shots that you don't mean to if you're not directly facing the basket with your feet set. it's hard for me to say which game I like better. I know that you grew up with, you know, playing more of NBA Live 98. I also played Live 98 back in the day. I can go back to both of those titles and appreciate them for what they are and have fun with both of them. For me, I got to be honest with you, it's kind of a toss-up.
No, that makes sense. And you spent a lot of time with Fast Break 98, obviously. You've talked about getting that for Christmas, you and your brothers spending hours after getting it for Christmas that year. And I did spend more time with NBA Live, my sim game of choice at that time. Even putting nostalgia aside, though, I do think that it holds up. It holds its own against all of its competitors as well. Has the better season mode. Some of those other features, roster editing is much better. In Live 98, it does have the full 15-man rosters, better roster customization. That being said, there is an editor for the PC version of NBA Action 98, and there is a roster update. It's actually in our download section. Both of them are in our download section. We need to try that at some point because it does rename one guard, 98 guard, to Michael Jordan, which is pretty much the only thing you need to change, as you said. The rest of the details are Michael Jordan's details already, so it just renames him, and for accuracy's sake. But I do still favor Live 98 because of the all-around product, but I've always been very impressed by the fluidity of the models in Action 98 or Fast Break 98. Just the way they move, there's less stiffness to them with the full body animations, I should say, compared to Live 98. But both great games, and you know, we've said it so many times before, Derek, but we miss having those great alternatives in the space. And you can see, back in the day, this is what we grew up with, having those different alternatives. And you talk to people that remember those times, and of course that only goes back to the mid-2000s, really, that we had multiple options in the space, beyond Live and 2K, I mean. And people have lots of great memories with games that aren't Live or 2K, although this is obviously a 2K predecessor, but all the same, these other games that sometimes fly under the radar, people have great memories with them, and it was great to have those alternatives.
Yeah, I can agree with that on Fast Break / Action 98. The player models are definitely smoother. I think the faces overall look a little bit more realistic on Fast Break. You know, on Live 98, they just look a little bit too blocky, and sometimes so blocky that the players kind of look like aliens and whatnot. I think that overall, the game, as you stated, just looks more fluid. Sometimes, you know, when you're going up for a dunk, you know, going up for a layup, NBA Fast Break 98 and NBA Action 98 just have all these different, you know, layup animations, like
great dunks, layups, great dunks,
great looking dunks in it, in NBA, in both those games. They have, you know, dunks where you do a reverse on the other side of the rim. You have 360s, you have back slams, you have, you know, spread legs, you know, tomahawk dunks where cradle, the defender falls to the floor. Yeah, there's a lot of good in Action 98. / Fast Break 98. One of my fondest memories from my basketball video game life was waking up on Christmas morning, going downstairs, unwrapping my presents, and first I opened the PlayStation 1, and we obviously flipped out because we got a PlayStation. And the second thing I opened was NBA Fast Break 98. And we, like I said it on prior podcasts, we were absolutely floored by, my brothers and I, we were floored by the graphics. You know, the players running out of the tunnels during player introductions, and we're like, oh my God, that looks exactly like Ron Mercer. These graphics are unbelievable. It's nothing like we've ever seen before. And we played so many exhibition games that day on that video game, just because we couldn't stop playing it. We couldn't stop looking at it. It was fun to see all the different animations. And we were, at the time, we were like, it can't get any better than this. This is like real life. Obviously, we know better now. But as kids, we were like, this is absolutely ridiculous. But yeah, I can go back and play both of those games. You and I have had NBA sessions on NBA Live 98 where we had an absolute blast using either stock teams or roster mods. And the way it was when I was growing up is we had NBA Live 98 for the PC, and we had NBA Fast Break 98 for the PlayStation. And we would play both quite a bit. We modded the PC version of NBA Live 98. You know, we'd play against each other on that, or, you know, on the same team and whatnot, huddled up in front of a small monitor with our bulky computer tower Then we'd obviously have the, you know, PlayStation in the other room where we'd game and play NBA Fast Break 98. But yeah, I mean, there were certain titles that, you know, as far as options, like you were saying, there were certain titles that I visited later in life that I didn't get my hands on from that time frame when they were new. And, you know, one of those actually was NBA Shootout 98. And I've been actually playing that a little bit recently. And I really wish that was a title that was in our rotation back then, because I do think that that's another game that, you know, holds up in its own way to Live 98 and Fast Break 98. However, I will say that it's probably third as far as overall quality, gameplay wise, in comparison to those two.
I tend to agree. And I know that we've both really enjoyed collecting these games over the past few years and expanding our collections and playing these games that we didn't spend as much time with back in the day, and seeing what they were doing differently and realizing that there were some other fun games out there. That doesn't mean that we regret the time we spent with the games that we did have, because those were fantastic games and still hold up. It's why we still go back to them and play them to this day. But it has been a joy to discover these other games and see what they were doing. And, of course, I'm always doing my articles where I'm talking about various roster trivia from back in the day with Wayback Wednesday and so forth, where I'm finding out which games had different rosters. And there were some games were released a bit later, so they had slightly updated rosters. For example, Dominic Wilkins, not in NBA Live 97 on the Spurs, but Total NBA 97 or NBA Shootout 97 as it was released over there, he's on the Spurs there. So there's little differences like that that are a lot of fun. The games themselves, obviously, a lot of fun as well. And we just love revisiting them. We will continue to revisit them. Saw a comment on our YouTube channel asking for more footage of NBA In The Zone 2. So that'll be another game to revisit, Derek.
Now, that game I spent a ton of time on
when
I was younger. And it is the second game, I believe, ever that I went through a full season on and won a championship on, which is in a way related to your mailbag question this week, where you asked the community, what was the first team you ever took to an NBA championship on a basketball video game? But NBA In The Zone 2, I believe, is incredibly underrated in the basketball gaming space. And it was doing a lot of innovative things like the national anthem, right? You know, you were able to select that and listen to the national anthem before the game. It had very unique player introductions as well. And that game has some incredibly smooth animations. It's incredibly fun to shoot on that game. I think it has some of the best shooting animations of all of the 90s basketball video games, and just some awesome jam-packed action as far as like the dunks and whatnot. So NBA In The Zone 2 by Konami is a great game.
It's also got a few plays that it wasn't licensed to have. It doesn't name them, but the faces are pretty damn accurate.
Yeah, if you watch the NLC Top 10 this week, you'll see that the number one play was from NBA In The Zone 2, and it was submitted by @BBallVideoGames, and it is M Guard for the Chicago Bulls.
The legend.
Driving the legend M Guard, the true GOAT.
No.
Driving the center of the lane and throwing it down one-handed. And I'm pretty sure he clears a Toronto Raptor on that play, as in he jumps over him. And then when he turns around to run down to the other end of the court, you see his face, and it is Michael Jordan. It is Michael Jordan's cyberface. So they went as far as they possibly could with NBA In The Zone 2 to get these players, these unlicensed players in the game, including Michael Jordan, Charles Barkley, Shaq. And then they had the hidden created players like Wilt Chamberlain, and I believe Jerry West is in there, etc. So they did as much as they could to try to get these legends of the game.
Yeah, Konami went above and beyond in that regard. The NBA wasn't too thrilled about that, but we do have it to enjoy all these years later, and it really is a fun part of NBA In The Zone 2. You know, you talk about NBA Live 98, that is a game that we will have to reconnect on again. I'm sure we will, especially now that we can use the Logitech controller. You did break that out, and of course it has the D-input mode, which is great for retro gaming because it can use all the triggers, so that'll be fun.
Yeah, so the Logitech F710 wireless controllers are excellent because it has the switch on the top of the controller that you can go back and forth on between D-input and X-input, and it's great for those classic games that you know, require D input for you to be able to have all the buttons working and mapped. You know, for example, my brother and I have seasons on some of the old lives, including like NBA Live 2000. And we've been using X input because we've been using the Xbox One wireless controllers. And we've been a little bit limited as far as button mapping. All four triggers on the top of the controllers have not been working. So we've had to be kind of strategic as far as, you know, what we're going to use, you know, for a specific button, like back down or something like that, or icon passing and everything. So by having the Logitech F710 in its place for some of these classic games, you know, we can have all four triggers on the top of the controller mapped. We don't have to worry about having any issues with button mapping. So yeah, I definitely recommend those controllers. I just picked up a second one off of Amazon for $29.99, and I'm going to be getting that in a couple days. So yeah, that's super exciting.
No, the F710 has worked out very well for me since I got it a few years back. I really do enjoy that D input option for retro gaming. As you say, you can use all of the triggers. That is quite important to use all of those advanced controls in those older games. You can work around them, as you noted, but it is better to have them at your disposal. There is actually a solution that RKHVK posted in our forum that simulates D input with an X input controller. Posted a link to this workaround on GitHub. You can download that and give that a try if you do have an X input controller. But I would definitely recommend the F710 as well, because it does have that switch. It does have the Xbox buttons if you're used to that with an Xbox controller, obviously. So yeah, it's a great controller.
Now, one thing we forgot to mention though, Andrew, with NBA Action 98, is the D input for the F710 didn't work on that game. So we're going to need to try a workaround. But basically what Andrew and I had to do was we had to use only four buttons and map only four buttons, because only four buttons on the controller were working. So we mapped one button to pass, one button to shoot, one button for dribbling and driving. So dribble moves and driving to the hoop are the same button, and one button for turbo. And we chose the A button. Think of an Xbox One controller. We chose the A button as the turbo button. That way shoot and pass are easily accessible by being B and X. And it worked out great. We were able to do everything that we wanted to on the court. Obviously, we weren't able to do things like icon passing and whatnot, or running plays, but the essentials were there for us to still have a great experience. And that's how great NBA Action 98 is as a video game, is you can have only four buttons mapped and it still be a great time.
We had all of the essential controls, so yeah, it worked out just fine. Had a great time. Looking forward to connecting on that one again. Another game that we've connected on recently is NBA Live 18, of course. We talked about that last week. And since then, we've also gone back and played that separately. And we're both kind of hooked, I think, Derek, to a certain extent, on Ultimate Team. Because we both have Legends and S-Squads in Ultimate Team in Live 18. That game does hold up. It holds up better than I remember whenever I go back to it, as we said last week. Whenever we go back to it, we realize that it was a pretty solid title. And we prefer it to 2K18. And yeah, playing Ultimate Team has been a blast recently.
Having Legends in NBA Live 18 just opens up the world of fun, right? And the biggest reason is instead of, you know, heading up the court with TJ McConnell, who is limited in comparison to so many of the Legends, you know, you're heading up the court with Spud Webb. And all of a sudden, you can cross over, burst, you know, to your right, get by your defender and throw it down in traffic. And it is fun, like flat out fun. And the team that I put together on Live 18 Ultimate Team is one of my favorites that I have ever used. And I'm going to explain why. So first I'll let you know who I have on the team. So I have Larry Nance, you know, elder Larry Nance, not, you know, Larry Nance Jr. I have the Heat Shaq, Julius Erving, Drazen Petrovic, and Steve Nash. That is my starting lineup. And then, so I got shooting, I got slashing, I got height, I got length, I have power. It's just like everything all in one. It's an awesome starting five to use. And then on the bench, I have Bill Walton and Spud Webb. And those two are phenomenal to use. And I have, you know, Big Shot Rob, Robert Horry as well, who stretches the floor, and he can also throw it down. And then I have World Be Free, who's one of my favorite basketball players of all time. And you can pull up in the mid-range with him and knock down shots like he did in real life. And, you know, he can actually step out and hit threes in that game as well. And he's fun to attack the rim with. And his cyber face is spot on. It looks exactly like him. Some of the legend cyber faces in NBA Live 18 are so underrated. Bill Walton, Julius Erving, Spud Webb, Larry Nance, like, the, you know, World Be Free, the cyber faces are awesome. But the reason why I enjoy this team so much is they are not overstacked. I'm not sure how else I'll wear that. They're like not too dominant. It's not like having Magic Johnson, Michael Jordan, Larry Bird, you know, Wilt Chamberlain, Kobe Bryant, all of that. And like having like just so many of the top tier legends. It's having a mixture of some top tier legends and then some, you know, other great players and then some, you know, mid-tier classic players like Robert Horry and everything. And it's just a combination that I really enjoy using on the floor. And I posted a highlight video of one of my games against the Philadelphia 76ers in Live 18 Ultimate Team. And it's, you know, an alley-oop to Larry Nance where he does a windmill and throws it down. It's Spud Webb getting that first step and going into a jump stop slam in traffic. It's the doctor, Julius Erving, doing just many stylish dunks and stylish moves at the hoop. He has a lot of signature stuff in that game and a lot of dunks that look just like the doctor, and it looks awesome. And, you know, I have Shaq with a two-handed monster dunk, you know, Steve Nash hitting shots on the move, you know, off balance and whatnot. I have Petrovic hitting a three at the top of the key at the buzzer of one of the quarters and hitting a corner three. I have World Be Free with two mid-range shots. It's just like, it's a fun group, a diverse group of players that is just really fun to use.
And obviously, the fact that the legends were exclusive to Ultimate Team in that generation of NBA Live is not ideal. We've criticized that before, but because they are exclusive, it makes them a novelty to use, to go back to Ultimate Team with a game that the servers are still up, obviously, so that you can do that, and use those legends. Now, I have gone the other way. I have stacked my team with basically a makeshift 90s All-Stars, East and West combined.
Wait, can I just say something before you even finish this, Andrew? I want to point something out. These are some of the best highlights. Like that footage that you share of your Live 18 Ultimate Team with the 90s legends, it's my favorite footage that you've ever posted.
Really?
I just want to point that out. It is. It's an era that I love. It's the All-Star uniforms that you're using. It's the camera view that you're using. It's watching you throw lobs to Sean Kemp. It's watching you attack the hoop with Penny. It's watching Clyde Drexler throw it down in traffic. It's just, those are my favorite clips that you've ever shared. And it looks awesome.
And of course, now I'm capturing them with the Elgato HD 60. So I can actually do that in proper 60 FPS as well. So they look better than what I captured when I did my 90s All-Star reel back in the day. So I do need to do another one now that I've amassed a bit of a reel again. But yeah, it's been a fun squad to play with. Hakeem in the middle, and I've also got Shaq coming off the bench, Lakers Shaq, Sean Kemp and Gary Payton. Obviously got to play with those two and throw lobs, as you said. Scottie Pippen, you know, not the biggest fan of some of the things he said, but obviously still a great player, still one of my all-time favorites, really, I guess, that aside, starting at small forward, Clyde Drexler as the shooting guard, Mitch Richmond coming off the bench, and yeah, just many of my favorites from the 90s, playing with them in Ultimate Team like that. It's been really rewarding to go back and play NBA Live 18 again. I've enjoyed having that back in my rotation.
I think I overlooked it a little bit when it was the current title, and I was pretty critical of it as far as, you know, the game being a bit stiff. I didn't like the feeling of shots on the move.
I mean, that's fair. Those criticisms are fair.
Yeah. I mean, the critiques, I still stand by them. But I think that I didn't play it as much when it was the current release as, you know, I probably should have. That's the way I look at it. I mean, the post game, I still feel is a little bit clunky and stiff. Not as many options you should have down there. Like I said, you know, shots on the move, all of that stuff. you know, I also think that there's a little bit too much, you know, body blocking and being forced to pick up your dribble. I think that the dribbling feels pretty much the same with most players. Like, there's no, you know, there's no signature size ups. There's no signature aspect to the dribbling. The dribbling is very simple. You know, when you try to do a crossover, there's no such thing really in that game as like a wide, realistic, fast crossover. They're all just kind of like mini crossovers, mini dribbles. So, like, I'm not really a big fan of the dribbling in that game. But overall, as a, you know, grab the board and run type game, as far as a game that can produce great highlights, as far as, you know, throwing it down in traffic and just kind of great moves at the hoop, as far as, you know, the shooting, which I've warmed up to a bit. It's not the worst in video game history. You know, the shooting is kind of fun. I love getting out there and, you know, shooting threes with Drazen Petrovic. And like I stated, getting in the mid range with World Be Free and shooting some shots on the move with Steve Nash. So, like, it has enough solid gameplay elements and appeal, you know, from an atmosphere and presentation aspects, from those aspects, where I have been actually, like, truly enjoying it. So you're going to see more Ultimate Team footage from both Andrew and I.
Definitely. And, of course, we can't adjust sliders in that in Ultimate Team. You can adjust them for franchise mode and exhibition play. And we did have a question, a comment on our YouTube channel again, asking about whether we had any slider suggestions. At the moment, we don't, apart from your suggestion of cranking up the speed, obviously, which we did in our games that we played over Parsec. But maybe we can put something together and throw that out there as a suggestion for, because, yeah, that was a question somebody asked, whether we had any sliders for franchise mode. So if we do devise anything, we'll definitely let you know.
Right. For NBA Live 18 and NBA Live 19, I had the game speed at 95. And you might think, whoa, that's crazy. But if you actually watch the gameplay video where Andrew and I use the Lakers on NBA Live 18 versus the Spurs, you'll see that the pace was excellent.
It works.
And what
yeah.
I found is that, yeah, it definitely works. It creates for more of a fun game. And at the same time, I find that when the speed is increased in those two games, that the game feels more reactive. Like, the animation delay will not bug you as much. It feels like there's less of a delay on your dribbles, on your shot, you know, on your passes, on your catches, all of that stuff. So my number one thing that I would recommend would be to up the game speed and give that a try.
So stay tuned for possible slider tweaks for people who want to go back to Live 18. And of course, more gameplay footage, more highlight reels from that game, and other games that we're playing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I also want to point something out. You're hearing Andrew and I every single week talking about, you know, our experiences with classic basketball video games. If you're not already into retro gaming, retro hoop gaming, etc., there's still time.
Oh, yeah.
There's still time. Get into it. It's not an expensive hobby. If you have a working PC, you know, a lot of these PC games are super cheap. You know, there's the emulators and ROMs out there, all of that stuff. You can still get into it, and it is a blast. And Andrew and I always have something to play.
And a shout out to Uncle Sam's Reject, who provided us with a way to get NBA 2K16 on Steam, if you haven't already.
Yeah, you can still actually get NBA 2K16 off of the GameStop website, and it is still $59.99, and I know that's ridiculous and whatnot, but you can still get the digital version. There's a digital option to select when you go to purchase that game, and what will happen is they will send you a code to download the game. And a lot of people loved NBA 2K16. Some say it's the best in the entire series. They did a lot of innovating with that game. They added a lot of new additions to that game. That's the game that expanded the classic teams. That's the game that added all of that new My League customization stuff, like the jersey creator, the court creator, all of that stuff. In fact, we had Leftos on the show you know, a couple of years ago, and he said that he almost felt like they went a little bit too far with that game as far as implementations and advancements and everything. So yeah, like, NBA 2K16 is great, and if you want to get it for Steam, you can still do so.
Before we go on, a reminder that the NLSC podcast comes out every week on the NLSC, nba-live.com, as well as our YouTube channel. We're also on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and other podcast apps. If you're listening on any of those apps, we'd greatly appreciate a review. To keep up with the show and everything we're doing with basketball gaming in general, connect with us on social media. On Twitter and Facebook, we are the NLSC. We also have an Instagram, NLSC Basketball, and on YouTube, we're youtube.com/NBA Live Series Center. Once again, visit us at NBA-Live.com, where in addition to the podcast, you'll also find all of our original content, as well as our forum and modding community. So yeah, we love retro basketball gaming. It's a big part of what we do. We're going to talk about what we play and, of course, share those highlights with you. At the same time, we are looking forward to 2K24. The previous season has technically tipped off, and with August right around the corner, there's going to be more news coming. But we do actually have a tidbit, Derek, that you noticed and sent to me as soon as you saw it, that it looks like they're going to streamline my career this year. They tweeted out a short clip where there's somebody representing a my player during a press conference, and they're asking him about his other career moves, whether he's getting into fashion and music and all this stuff, and he just basically says, oh, I'm here to ball. And it's a little quick promo, a little teaser for this streamlining my career. And I'm surprised with this, Derek, because I've written a couple of articles recently where I've talked about how the open world is a bit of a mistake and a bit of a misfire in my career, how I feel that the mode has reached the point of no return, that it's just going to keep going into this open world scenario and all these quests and these things that have nothing to do with basketball. But that sounds like they're actually backing off that. And I am surprised because, to me, I didn't think that would happen because it would seem like they're going backwards. Like, oh, we're making it more simplified. We're simplifying this experience after pushing the envelope with it. So I was surprised, and I'm kind of glad to see that. And I don't know whether I'll get into my career this year because of all the grinding. And and of course, I have trouble sticking with anything in new games that I know are going to be gone in 27 months when they shut down the servers. But I am glad to hear that and hopeful about it because I did think that the mode had reached the point of no return, but maybe not.
When I said that to Andrew, his first response was, wow, I didn't expect that.
Yeah.
I'm impressed. That's basically what Andrew said. He was impressed. I mean, I don't get into my career. That's not going to make me get into it either. Like, it's just not something that I'm interested in. It's not really my scene and whatnot. But for people like you and the, you know, countless people out there that enjoy that mode and everything, and, you know, if you enjoy the game as well, you know, progressing through it and, you know, improving your player and all of that stuff, I mean, that sounds awesome. But, you know, it's still a wait and see approach. We don't have all the news in relation to what they're doing with my career. All they've said is that they're streamlining some of it. But I hope whatever they end up doing with it, that it's favorable to the consumer and that the consumer base is happy. And that's what matters.
Definitely. And it is intriguing because, as I said, they were going down that direction where it was pushing more in that non-basketball direction with quests and so forth. A lot of pushback in 2K23 where you had these mandatory quests where you couldn't even play the next NBA game until you ran around the city and did these quests. So they've probably got a lot of pushback on that and changed direction from the sounds of it. As you say, we'll need to wait and see what it entails, but definitely some good news there, or some promising news at least.
Yeah, listen, you know, Trae Young, before you have your next game with the Atlanta Hawks, we need you to run around the city.
Wearing a hot dog hat, yeah.
Wearing a hot dog hat and, you know, do a few things that are not relevant at all in relation to your time with the Atlanta Hawks and on the basketball court and, you know, your time in the NBA. Yeah, I thought the quest thing was stupid. All the footage I saw of it, everything I heard about it. So the fact that they're getting rid of that after only, you know, a year, that's impressive.
I mean, there's a reason why I've been playing NBA 2K14 my career. I mean, also the fact that I've been enjoying that game so much and playing through 5 full seasons and into my 6th, 5 straight championships. And there is something special about winning a virtual championship. Obviously, putting in all that time, and especially when you're playing on 12-minute quarters and playing every single game, no simulating, whether it's a career mode or a franchise mode. And that is something we have both done over the years, playing all the way through to a championship. But it's not always necessary to enjoy a game, Derek. And there's a lot of games that I love, a lot of my favorite games that I've never actually won a championship in, or I've not without simulating anyway. And I think that's the same for a lot of people. But at the same time, it is very satisfying to play through a full season and get a virtual ring.
Yeah, I've done it a few times, solo, and then more often I've actually done it co-op with my brother Nick. And as far as my brothers and I, like all three of us, you know, playing a season together, the furthest we ever got was actually on NBA 2K16, where we had a Ultimate Classic team season, and we all controlled a team, and we were each other's opponents for every game. Every game was 48 minutes long, and we got into the second round of the playoffs, and we still haven't finished that season. But that's actually the furthest all three of us have gotten together. But yeah, you posed this question to the community.
Yeah, I posted a clip of the championship celebration in NBA Live 96 PC. Ironically, Derek, a game that I haven't won a championship in, but I have obviously simulated through in playoffs mode and seasons before to see the championship celebration cutscene, and asked, which basketball video game did you win your first championship in, and who was lifting the virtual Larry O'Brien trophy? And the community responded. First up, we have Mio, says, I honestly don't remember, but I do know that the latest virtual championship was my 2K13 career mode with the Cavs. Best guess would probably be a custom team in 2K11. And that's interesting, yeah, using a custom team and taking them all the way through the championship.
Yeah, I'd be curious who was on that custom team, right?
Yeah.
I should expand on that because I'd love to hear who was on there. As far as the 2K13 Cavs, that's post-LeBron, right? So,
or pre-LeBron, as the case may be.
Or exactly right, exactly. Or pre-second stint with the Cavs, LeBron. But that team has a very young Kyrie Irving. They have, if I remember correctly, Anthony Bennett, Anderson Varejao. I believe they had Bobby Gibson still. Is that correct, Daniel Gibson?
They did indeed, yep.
Yeah, so that team's interesting. I think they also had the LeBron replacement, J.J. Hickson, as well. So that team is an interesting team to take to a title, Andrew.
Alonzo G., the legend.
Alonzo G., I didn't even want to mention him because I was, you know, kind of talking poorly about that Cavs team. And I didn't want to include him in that poor talk because he is an absolute video game legend.
MF Don says that it brings back memories and probably won his first virtual championship with the Sonics. And based on the response, I'm guessing in the mid-90s there. So a Kemp and Peyton Sonics team.
Yeah, I mean, can't go wrong with that.
No.
That's our go-to on NBA Jam on Fire edition. And whenever I'm doing like an all-time fantasy draft with my brothers, or if I'm playing solo against the computer and Sean Kemp is available, I take him pretty much 100% of the time.
Next up, we have Brandon BC Price 86 says, the 1992 Chicago Bulls in Bulls versus Blazers. It had to be about 1994, I believe. And that's pretty cool, obviously. And it also speaks to how we didn't necessarily get the new game every single year when we were kids in the 90s. And sometimes we'd play those games for a couple of years, and that's how you finish the season.
Oh, no, 100%. So around that time, you know, I was playing Tecmo Super NBA Basketball, Andrew. And I actually won a championship on that game with the Pistons. And so that was Woolridge, Joe Dumars, you know, Isaiah Thomas, Dennis Rodman, and Bill Laimbeer in their starting lineup. And that was an absolute blast. That was the first game I ever finished a season on. The second one was NBA Showdown. So again, right around that time, right? Right around like 1994 when he was doing that on Bulls versus Blazers. And I won a championship with the Boston Celtics. And that was the unbelievable souped up Kevin Gamble, where in the playoffs, all of a sudden his speed got 10 times faster. And I don't know if it was a glitch with my cartridge or if that's a glitch in the game in general. Like I said, I got to go back and check that. But that's the game where I was flying up and down the court with Kevin Gamble and just scoring over and over and over again and just blowing out the PC. And then after that, I won a championship on NBA in the Zone 2 using the Detroit Pistons. And that was with Joe Dumars and Grant Hill and whatnot. And that was also a blast. So in the 90s, those are the three games that I finished seasons on and won titles.
Yeah, we need to go back to that game and see if that is a glitch with Kevin Gamble and see what actually happened there, because that would be very interesting to find out whether it was a common issue or not. My first championship was around that time as well, the mid-90s, with NBA Live 95 for Super Nintendo, playing a 26-game season on three-minute quarters. It was a frequent video store rental for me at that time. Didn't have it in my collection yet, so just had to finish it as quickly as possible when I had it for a week. So 26 games and three-minute quarters it was, and 1-1-1-1 through the playoffs, or might have been 1-3-3-3 as it was at the time. But yeah, a lot of fond memories of doing that and that feeling of accomplishment of playing a season from start to finish, and that is why Live 95 is it's a classic game anyway. A lot of people rightfully recognize it as such, but it is one of my favorites as well. Live 2000 was probably actually the next game that I played with my cousin from start to finish. Once again, an abbreviated season for the school holidays there. But it just sticks out in your memory, these when you play through from start to finish and you... And look, those cutscenes back in the day, though, when you won the championship, if it even was a cutscene, so to speak, it was nothing special, but it was still exciting, Derek.
It was our imaginations, right?
Yeah.
We used our imaginations back then constantly with all the different games that we were playing, because the graphics weren't as good as they are today. The endings to video games, sports or otherwise, you know, whether you finish a season or you finish a game like Contra or something like that, the endings were often very short, and they were nothing special. Sometimes the endings they weren't even animated.
One screen of sometimes. Text, yeah.
Right, like, yeah, exactly. You know, you win, you know, you beat Contra.
A winner
is you, feels
like
an epic victory, yeah. And it's like, oh, the helicopter's leaving the island, so it's like a three-second scene, and then, boom, there's the credits. Right. So, we had to use our imaginations back then, but it was about the journey, right?
It was
about the journey.
And just getting there was so fulfilling that it didn't really matter. But over the years, we did expect a bit more of an elaborate championship sequence, obviously.
Oh, yeah. 100%. And I will say this. I have regrets. I have regrets about not finishing seasons on specific games. The original NBA 2K, and I'm not talking about Fast Break or Action 98, I'm talking about the first named 2K. I would have loved to finish a season on that, and I never did. I would have loved to finish a season with the Kings, who, you know, the Jason Williams Kings, who is one of my favorite teams of all time, and it would have just been a blast to go through an entire season on that. And here's the cool thing. Those modes are still intact.
Oh,
right?
Still time, yeah.
So, oh, there's still time. We could always do that. We could do it together.
Yeah.
You and I could even play seasons together through Parsec and play co-op on these games that allow it. So, that's one of the cool things about classic and retro gaming. It's like these games never die.
And heading over to our Discord for a couple of more responses, Avery says, 2K14 next gen, when I completely flipped the Wizards downside up, or right side up, I'm not sure, to win the chip in 14-15.
The Wizards in 14-15. So that I like the fact that I'm hearing teams that were not at the top of the league that people are using, right? Like the Cavs and the Wizards and everything. It's because you want that journey to be tough. You want to be, you want to be able to fight through adversity. You want to be able to turn a franchise around. That says something about you, in my opinion, as a gamer and even as a person, because you don't want to take the easy way out. And I think that's really cool. And the fact that you're able to accomplish that, I don't care what difficulty level you're playing on, the fact that you're able to accomplish that and get enjoyment out of it, that's awesome.
Well, that's the thing. When you're playing against the CPU and how cheesy it can be sometimes, it does come down to what gives you the best experience, and whether you want to dominate the computer or whether you want to have that challenge, that's up to you. But it's still the longevity and the ability to stick with the season and play it through to the end. It's still an accomplishment either way, and don't let anyone tell you otherwise.
Oh, no, 100%. Don't let anybody gatekeep what level you play on. Now, there's a huge difference, though.
Or
camera angle, right, exactly. Listen, broadcast for life. But the point is that if it's different if you were going on social media and posting clips of you beating up with a computer on Rookie and being like, rah, 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 look how awesome I am.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, man, I am awesome at this game. You guys can't even compare to me. Look how much I'm dominating the computer. Well, you're our Rookie, right? Yeah. Stop that. But if Rookie or semi-pro or pro or whatever, if that's the level that you get the most enjoyment on the game, and you share clips and you're like, hey, look, I'm having fun with the game and everything, that is completely different. And that is awesome. because that's why those difficulty levels exist, right? That's why there isn't just one difficulty level for these games, because you're supposed to tailor the experience to your skill level and to the way you want to play. So yeah, I'm not a fan of people who gatekeep what, or try to gatekeep what level people are playing on.
I'm not either. This is not Elden Ring, right? Well, it's not Dark Souls, you know, come on.
Well, Elden Ring has no difficulty levels, so you don't have to worry about that, Andrew.
Yeah.
same with Dark Souls. But there are games out there in that genre where you can choose a difficulty level, and I have heard people, you know, kind of get crapped on for using lower difficulty levels.
Yeah. And Juicy Shackmeat says, I won the finals the first time on NBA Live 2003 using the Detroit Pistons that didn't have Rasheed Wallace but had Cliff Robinson instead. The trophy celebration in that game felt grander than recent titles and caused the recent championship celebrations more of a clip show. And yeah, around about that time, they were starting to put a bit more into the presentation, Derek.
No, yeah. No, definitely. I think that it's when you get into the 90s when it gets really, like, blah. When it comes to that stuff. But at the same time, like I stated before, for me, it was always just about that journey and using my imagination.
But yeah, something special about your first virtual championship for sure, just like the first video game in general that you finished. And thank you to everybody for sharing those stories with us. But speaking of community interaction, Derek, let's see what the mailman has for us.
To the mailman. One more.
And this week, you threw out another trivia question to the community, Derek.
I did. I used NBA 2K13 for this trivia. And I asked the community, can you match the name of the player to his overall rating? So on the right side, I show ratings. It says 83, 79, 90, 86, 78, and 85. And then on the left, I show the player's name, which is Kemba Walker, Eric Gordon, Andrew Bynum, Rajon Rondo, Kyrie Irving, and Aaron Aflalo. Now, Andrew, you quizzed me last week, and I got 2 out of 6 on your trivia. Let's see how many you can, you know, get right here and how many you can connect.
I feel like I'm going to get caught out, just like the clutch ratings caught you out last week. And I want to go back to that real quick and say that your list made a lot more sense. You should have got more than 2 out of 6, but the clutch ratings were kind of weird in that default roster of Live 08, so you definitely should have got 5 or 6 out of 6 last week. But let's see if I get tripped up as well. I'm going to say Rondo 90, Bynum 86, Gordon 85, Irving 83, Walker 79, and Aflalo 78. But let's see.
That was incredibly impressive. So you got all of them right, with the exception of having Kemba Walker and Aflalo flip-flopped.
Wow.
So, yeah, so that was really impressive. So 5 out of 6. Rondo, 90. Andrew Bynum, 86. I want to talk about that in a second. Eric Gordon, 85. Kyrie Irving, 83. Aflalo, 79. And Kemba Walker, 78. And here's the funny part, Andrew. Andrew Bynum is on the Philadelphia 76ers in the default roster in this game. So I was really impressed, because this was right after he was out of LA. He was going to go to a new team. As we know, that didn't obviously work out because of injuries with Bynum in Philly. But I was surprised that the community was able to guess Bynum correctly at 86 overall. The majority of guesses had Bynum guessed correctly. And that, I thought that was really impressive. Here's the other fun fact about this. All 6 of those guys are the highest overall on their team, including Aaron Aflalo.
Where was he at the time? Was he still in Orlando?
Yes, and he is 79 overall, and he is the number one highest overall player on that team.
Not a strong year for the Magic, of course. The reason that Bynum is on the 76ers that year was, I believe, as part of the multi-team Dwight Howard trade that sent him from the Magic to the Lakers. So that's why Bynum has that phantom stint on the 76ers. Of course, you can read about that in the Friday Five series on players who only appeared on certain teams in games. But yeah, Aflalo is the top player for the Magic. Not a strong time. Decent player, obviously, but not a strong year for the Magic, understandably. And Kemba Walker, I would have thought that he would have been a little bit higher, but I guess he was still very early on in his career, hadn't peaked yet.
Right, he was fresh off of his rookie season, and he averaged 12 points a game. so he wasn't a star yet. But he was him being the highest overall, that was based off of obviously potential and not stats, right? You know, for him to be the highest overall on the Hornets there. But here's a few other fun facts about NBA 2K13 ratings. So David Lee and Steph Curry are both 82 overall, and they're both the highest on the Warriors. So yes, David Lee Steph Curry.
That's a different time.
Yeah. Ginobili and Duncan are the highest overall on the Spurs, both at 87. Kevin Martin is the highest overall on the Rockets at 81. Andre Iguodala is 87 overall on the Nuggets as the highest, and Rudy Gay is the highest on the Grizzlies, 87 overall as well. Dwight Howard is 95 overall, and Kobe is 93. So Dwight Howard is the highest overall player on the Lakers, and Nash and Gasol are both 87. Personally, I think that's a little bit too high for Nash at this point. I'm surprised that Nash is 87 overall in that game. KG is 84 overall, and Pierce is 82, while Rondo is at 90. I thought that was a little bit too big of a difference, even though KG and Pierce were getting a little long in the tooth there. They were a little bit, you know, they were pretty much on their way out at that point, on their way out of Boston. So, but yeah, that's quite a difference there. And then the Cavs only have three players over 70 overall on the entire team. Kyrie, 83. Varejao, 73, and Dion Waiters, 71. So, yeah, some interesting facts there, some ratings that kind of, you know, feel like they're a little bit all over the place.
Definitely, and we've talked about the politics of ratings, for lack of a better word, and it was obviously Rondo's Celtics at that time, where it seemed like it was going to be his team moving forward. Of course, then he went to the, I believe, the Mavericks next year when he was traded. But, yeah, 90 overall, and that much difference between him and Pierce and him and KG, yeah, that's... I don't think his individual ratings really warranted that. Or wouldn't have thought so.
No, I don't think so either. But, yeah, no, you did excellent. 5 out of 6. Good job.
So let's see how the community did with this week's trivia. First up, we have SweetJones_OTF. Big Perk, of course, says Rondo, 85. Irving, 86. Kemba Walker, 90. Gordon, 83. Aflalo, 79, and Bynum, 78, and probably a year early on Bynum dropping with the with his injuries there.
Yeah, but that's, I kind of thought the community would be more in line, the majority of the guesses would be more in line with what Sweet Jones did there. I didn't expect the community to predict Andrew Bynum being, you know, high 80s overall. I would have thought they would either guessed him at the, you know, 83 range or even under 80. Especially considering when you boot up NBA 2K13, he's sitting there in your face on the Philadelphia 76ers. So, yeah, good try, though, by him.
And one there with a flow, I believe, 79.
Yep, he got that one right.
Next up, we have Day-Day says Kemba, 78, Gordon, 83, Bynum, 86, Rondo, 90, Kyrie, 85, and a flow, 79. So 4 out of 6 there. And I think Gordon and Kyrie are the ones that I was going back and forth on, and I was kind of surprised that I actually got that one right, and those are the ones that were flipped.
Yeah, people forget that Eric Gordon was a stud for a while, right, in the NBA, just a knockdown shooter. And, yeah, he got everyone right other than having Eric Gordon and Kyrie flipped.
And Roger Ward, one of the Live 01 legends, of course, says Rondo, 90, Bynum, 86, Gordon, 85, Kemba, 83, Kyrie, 79, and Aflalo, 78. So 3 there.
Yeah, you got 3 there. I don't blame him on guessing a little bit higher on Kemba, because even you stated you were like, you know, 78. I'm surprised he wasn't a little bit higher, right? So guessing Kemba at 83, I totally understand that.
Kizus says Rondo, 90, Kyrie, 85, Bynum, 86, Kemba, 83, Gordon, 79, and Aflalo, 78. I think we all kind of gravitated towards Aflalo being the lowest, and obviously second from the bottom, but yeah, it was Kemba.
Yeah. Now, if I had put 282 overalls on there and Steph Curry and David Lee, and I threw, you know, some higher overalls on there, like 88, 89, 92, et cetera. Do you think that anybody would have guessed that Steph Curry and David Lee were the same overall?
No, not at all.
Right, exactly. So I think sometimes, you know, a player's name, right, automatically makes you think of a higher rating. And I think that's also what's happening here with Kemba. with these guesses related to him, and even some of the higher guesses related to Kyrie's. You hear Kemba and you think, you know, we're talking mid-2010s, you're thinking all-star, right? And when you're thinking of Kyrie, you're thinking all-star and all of that, and you're thinking, you know, top-tier player, one of the best NBA players in the game. But we're reflecting here on the 11-12 season. So we're actually talking like early 2010s here.
And of course, with Steph Curry in particular, you know, he was coming off that season where he missed most of the year with the ankle problems, and there were concerns about his future and whether he'd be healthy, to the point where there was debate whether he or Monte Ellis should have been traded, which sounds ridiculous now.
Yeah. And I mean, people also forget when, in relation to David Lee, is David Lee was a double-double guy, like a regular double-double guy.
An all-star, like, once, yeah.
Yeah, an all-star at one point. So, like, but yeah, like, again, you hear the name and you automatically think higher overall.
And LRB says, Kemba 78, Aflalo 79, Kyrie 83, Gordon 85, Bynum 86, and Rondo 90. So, 6 for 6 there.
Yeah, that's impressive. So, he automatically wins the trivia. The best somebody else can do is tie him. So that's good stuff. Good stuff.
And to see whether anybody can, we head over to the Discord now, where Juicy Shack Meat says, Kemba 78, Gordon 85, Bynum 86, Rondo 90, Kyrie 83, and Aflalo 79.
So there you go. That's two tied.
Two winners
tied
this week.
They got all
yeah.
sick, right. Yeah, that's pretty impressive because I got to be honest with you, I didn't think anybody was going to get 6 for 6 on this, so that's impressive.
So congratulations to this week's winners, and thank you to everybody who participated. Always fun to look back at these ratings, Derek, and like you say, trying to put yourself in that headspace of remembering what they were at the time and trying to avoid that bias that comes with and that that initial thought that comes when you hear the player's name and try to put it in that right time frame of the NBA and also the politics that goes on with ratings and so forth. But some interesting ratings there, obviously, and yeah, looking forward to more trivia.
The trivia gets people's minds working, and at the same time, it allows them to go down memory lane, right? It feeds nostalgia. And what's really cool about doing trivia on these classic games is it had all the people who participated in this and all the people that saw the question, you know, it sent their brains back to the 11-12 season, right? The early 2010s NBA. And, you know, a while back, I did a trivia, I want to say, on NBA Live 2004. And then immediately everybody's brain started going to work as far as thinking about the early 2000s. So, yeah, I think the trivia is a lot of fun for those reasons.
And 2004 was a tough one because of all the lower-rated players, especially the legends.
Right, and the rookies.
Yeah.
The legends and the rookies. I can't even believe how low-rated some of them are.
So yes, we'll continue to do trivia in the mailbag and other mailbag questions and community topics as well. And thank you once again to everybody who took part this week and, of course, each and every week when we throw out those prompts. With that being said, that has brought us to the end of this week's show. As always, we thank you for tuning in and invite you to join us again next week, either on the NLSC, nb-live.com, our YouTube channel, or your podcast app of choice. In the meantime, please connect with us on social media. That's where you can get in touch with us and, of course, stay up to date with all of our content. So, Derek, go ahead and plug the handles.
Yeah, you can reach me on Twitter at D43G or at D4384. You can also reach me on YouTube, D43, and on the NLSC, D43.
I am Andrew in the forum and Andrew NLSC on Twitter. The NLSC is on Twitter and Facebook at the NLSC. We're also NLSC Basketball on Instagram and Threads. We're on YouTube at youtube.com/NBA Live Series Center. And of course, keep it locked to the NLSC itself, NBA-live.com, for everything we do for basketball video games. So, thank you once again for tuning in, and until next time, I'm Andrew.
And I'm Derek.
Go get buckets, everyone.